First Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1. Just to let us know the importance of thanksgiving this morning, because that is where we are going. And when God did, Anna sang a song. It is that song that I want us to look at. So, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. It said, the Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the harsh heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Then if you read 9, he said, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. You want us to bow down our heads this morning? I say, Father, my Lord, my heart rejoices in you. Remember that song that Anna sang? Tell my heart shall magnify the Lord. Then my soul shall do what? And magnify the Lord. Let your soul magnify the name of the Lord this morning. Our Lord is God of peace, of joy. He raises the poor from the dust, lifts the beggar from hardship, to set them among princes and make them inherit the thrones of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven, it will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king, exalt the horn of his anointed. Let your soul praise the name of the Lord this morning. Let your soul praise the name of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Father, we have come before you this morning to thank you, to celebrate the 10th month in the year. 10 over 10 is 100%. That is to tell you that you have indeed been more than 100% in our lives. Father, we appreciate you. Lord, we bless you. Father, as we rejoice in your presence this morning, let there be open heavens. In the mighty name of Jesus, come down with your glory. Come down with your mercy. Come down with your might. Honor us in your presence. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Father, let your word come forth with grace this morning. Let your word come with anointing. Yes. Lord Almighty, give us a discerning heart. Amen. A heart that will be doer of your word. Amen. Thank you, we receive from you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The meaning, true meaning of thanksgiving. Let's look. Open our Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. True meaning of thanksgiving. David appreciated the real meaning, the true meaning of thanksgiving. If you remember, before David became the king, if you have been following that story, before David became the king, Eli has been there. as the judge of Israel. Okay? Then there was a war between Israel and the Philistines. It was a time of political turmoil, a time of anomie, we call it in sociology. Anomie is a period of confusion. People confuse the true meaning of God with something else. They were taken, prisoners by their surroundings. When they look at what is going on around them, for example, the people around them have kings ruling over them. They have idols that they worship. So they too thought that, oh, it would be better if we have kings. It would be better if we see the God that we are worshiping. So they turned the ark of God itself to an object of worship. Thank God, it's not an object that can be tampered with anyhow. If you go on, when David was to bring the ark back into Jerusalem, where it was kept, it was trouble because somebody who was supposed to touch the ark touched it, a general, and he died. And David was really troubled. So they returned it back. Let's put it in the hand or in the house of one Obed-Edom. And the Bible recorded that Obed-Edom, for that 90 days that the ark resided in Obed-Edom's house, all his family were blessed. Because, you see, you cannot invite the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to your presence. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords cannot be living with you, and some witches and wizards will be living in that house. It's not possible. And how do we bring down the presence of God? It's through thanksgiving. It's through space worship. It is through appreciation. God will give us, grant us that heart in the mighty name of Jesus. So, the war was fought. And they were losing. And they thought, okay, you know one thing? Let's go bring the ark into war front. Once we bring it, we win the war. They turned the ark to an object of worship. They've forgotten that God is the one that made the ark to be what it is. And so when the ark came into the war grounds, they shouted like no man's business. They so much rejoice. They are rejoicing over the object because they saw the ark, not because God is there for them. So, the Philistines said, the God of Israel has come into their midst. Because the Philistines also regarded the ark as an idol of item of worship. You know. Say, their God has been brought to the war front. And their God can fight for them, but we must fight this war to the last. And that was how the Philistines fought that war, and they won the children of Israel. They even seized the ark. So, the ark was far away from the presence of the children of Israel for over 40 years. If you remember, after that, Saul came as a king. Saul reigned for 40 years. The ark was not in Israel at that time. It was with the Philistines. So, I think in the process, they brought the ark into their own God's house. Dagon, or something like that. So they set Dagon before the ark. By the time in the morning, Dagon was already down. They woke up in the morning. Is the God of Israel more powerful than our own God? The God that we see from the war front? Then they again raised Dagon up, put everything together. The second day, I think the tie, the head, everything has already scattered. And then the Lord of Philistines now said, okay, you know what I mean? I think it was first in Ashdod. There are so several cities. We won't let this ark stay here. They consulted with other laws. Can we bring it there? At the end of the day, there was a lot of confusion, problems in the city as a result of the presence of the ark. I said, we have to send this ark back. Oh. And that was how they sent the ark back. You know, using some oxen, putting it on a cart, you know. And the ark remained where it was for years. Until David said, now, let me bring the ark to Jerusalem. No? And there was that mistake again. And the general died. Okay. What are we going to do? David eventually got it right and brought the ark. So, if you read from 16:7, you know, I have the entire passage. But when we get to him, I want us to read. On that day, David first delivered his psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. What have you delivered into your heart to thank the Lord? That is the question we want to answer this morning. David said, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among his people. You have to share testimony. Don't keep that testimony that God has given unto you. Be bold. Solidify it. The testimony that leper came back to give when he came back to Christ, make his healing to be what? Whole. Jesus said, 10 people were healed. How come it is only this stranger that appreciated God and came back? Therefore, your healing is what? Whole. Your healing will be whole in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. When you give testimony. When you make the deed of the God known among his people. So sing to him. 9. Sing psalms to him. Talk of his wondrous work. Glory is his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Let the heart of those rejoice. That is, you can say, let the heart of those who seek the Lord do what? Rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders, and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. God has touched you. You are born again. You are in his presence. Do you remember his deeds in your life every time? Do you look back and appreciate him? You know, do you reflect over what he did when you were like this, when you were growing up, and how he has today made you to be very rich? Because either you like it or not, you are rich. For many of us, we'll be thinking that we are, like I was sharing with the workers this morning, you know, we think we are poor. I'm telling you, we always think we are poor. When I was in Europe, whenever this panel of discussions come, we have professors, about 3 of them, and then the students, and we'll be discussing. You know, the 3 of us in Nigeria, that came from Nigeria as the students representing Nigeria in that program, we always see ourselves as poor people. You know? And the professors will always be laughing. We discuss this issue with zeal to really show them that indeed poverty, it's not a good thing, you know, and that poverty is still here in our lives, even while we are in Europe. And the professors will be laughing. Say, Isaac always sees himself as a poor man. A poor man does not see the inside of any aeroplane. Did you swim here? Did you walk into this country? You flew in an aeroplane. You are not a poor man. In fact, I don't realize it then until now. You know, I begin to realize it now that we are not poor. You will never see poverty in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Our God is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all earth. Remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob for his statute. To Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. And this generation, they are still there. You know, when you are few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it. Today we might be few. Today we might be strangers in America. But God has given us the land. We will multiply. We will multiply in the mighty name of Jesus. So he went on and on and on and on and on and on to give reasons why. When we get home, I want us to read it. This is why we should give thanksgiving to the Lord. And that brings us to what is thanksgiving? You know, in America, there is a day set aside for thanksgiving. It's a special day. First celebrated in America in 1621, when I went through history. It was first celebrated in 1621, when the pilgrims arrived and the Red Indians shared a fall harvest. But in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving to be held each year in November. And that is why every fourth Thursday of the year, we come together to thank God. And in Canada, I think they have to. It's usually the second Monday in October. So probably Thanksgiving in October, maybe tomorrow in Canada. Okay? But when we look at that Thanksgiving that we are talking about, what we conjure in our heads is leaves falling on the ground, leaves changing color, falling off trees. We also think of visiting with our family and friends. We also think of watching this Thanksgiving Day parade, either in person or on TV. You know? Of course, there are traditional football games on TV. Our memories also remind us of turkey dinners, you know, all those holiday trimmings, stuffing. But how many of us have had to loosen our belt after a festive Thanksgiving dinner service? Many of us. After a beautiful meal, lose the belt because we enjoy, you know, we thank God. So Thanksgiving Day is more than a day of fond memories. It is more than a day of parade, football, you know, and special dinners. It is a day of thanks. Like today is a Thanksgiving Day. We are to remind ourselves of the bounty of treasures that is part of our lives. Amen. When I was getting married, I thought I was very poor. No money, nothing. It's only me. My father said, "Daddy, you are very rich. During my own time, Shebi, I am here for you, to advise you, to tell you what to do, to tell you where to go. The only thing, I don't have such money that I can throw around." Is that your problem? During my own time, there was nobody. I look back. I said, somebody can be poorer than I? Yes, my father said he was. When I was in high school, you know, the first 2 years I was a day student. The remaining 3 years I was in boarding house. But that first 2 years, I trek. They give us money. They give us money for transport, but you know, students, that transport money is not to go for transport. It's to go for something else. You know. So, but we trek. We are supposed to take the bus to the school. It's just one straight route from Penn Cinema to Ifakor. The first bus stop is college bus stop. That's where they drop us. So once they put us in that van, and we all enter, paying our 55 cents as a transport fare, the next bus stop is college. Just one bus stop before it now goes to Iju and so on. So we all drop. But as we are, so you now see students filing on that street, walking. And as we were going, we were talking. But one thing catches my attention a lot. You see fellow students being driven by their father, by their parents to school. And they will never stop for us. If they stop, how many of us will they carry? That's the problem. So we will be working. And it was an ambition I nursed that, I hope my father can put me in a car and drive me to school, you know. But that ambition never came to pass in my life until we finished that form two. I went back to boarding house. Even when I was in boarding house, it was funny. The last day that we were carrying our belongings out of the school, I was the last person to move out. Everybody, their one uncle, their father, their parents will come for them and take away their belongings. There was nobody to come for me. If they are to come, they are to come with a car. Nobody has a car in the family. Nobody has a van. But anticipating that this might cause some problem, I've been moving my things little by little, little by little, until it remained the mattress, you know, and the pail, which was the last and the something that I was wearing. So after the so-called what the equivalent of what you call prom here, and we had to go home. I allowed everybody to go, and I was the only one in the hostel. I now rolled that mattress like this, tied it, carried the rest of my belongings in the pail, put them in the pail, carried the mattress on my head, and I carried the pail like that. And I walked through the street to the bus stop. That day, when I now reached home, it was the saddest day of my life. When I reached home, my father looked at me like this. Where are you going to put this in your phone? Because before I left anyway, myself, seven sisters, and my mother, we are sharing a room. Yeah. Poverty. So my father said, where are you going to put this in your phone? You better put it by the side of your mother's house there, mother's room there. I felt so bad. Now, I have enjoyed privacy for 3 years. From three, from four, from five. I've come back to a house where there's no what? No privacy. My poverty came alive again. I felt sorry for myself. That was the saddest day, one of the saddest days of my life. But how old were my children when they had their own room? How old? As I walk in order to have a car, walk. Car must come. Save. The money will go. Save. How old were my children before they owned their own cars? No? We have a lot of things to thank God for if we really have the hearts. We have a lot of things. And so during the week, a call came in from one of my friends in London. You know, we all grew up in the environment. We were all born into that poverty. We all went to school together. You know. And there was this lady among us, a cousin to this my friend. You know. And my friend said, did you remember this lady? I said, yes, I understand. She's there. Yes, she's there. You know, she's my cousin. She's there. He said, do you know that lady struggled with poverty all the days of her life? That there was not a single breakthrough. Went to school in poverty. Born into poverty, started school in poverty. When she was to go to high school, it was the time of when they were still paying school fees. The parents couldn't afford school fees, so they put her to start working. A girl of 12 or 13 started earning something. Now, when she earns that money, the money was never in her hand. It is taken by the parents. Now, in the process, Jack one day came and declared free education. So they smuggled her back into school. But she never left that work. So how can we imagine a child of 15, 16 to be combining work with high school? Full-time work, oh. You know? It's very tough. Combining work. So school start came. Okay. Somebody who did full-time cannot make it. So it is you that now doing part-time. Then she got married into poverty. The husband said, okay, in order to get out of this poverty, I'm going abroad. He was a member of Boy Scout. So going through Liberia, when the war, civil war over there was still going on, you know, he joined the Liberian army and the Charles Taylor army. The boy perished there. Took years before the wife could know that the man is no more alive. Yes. Because every day, where is your husband? Alam Oburo. Ilu Iburulo Unlo. Then, in that poverty, She kept on going with the two children that the man left behind with her. You know, the children also grew up, they became armed robbers. And the lady eventually died. And my friend was telling me, he said, "Daddy, you will be thinking you are poor. You know where the airport is. You have an international passport. You travel abroad. You travel." He said, "That lady never saw the inside of an aeroplane in her life. She never sat in a car belonging to her husband, talk less of her own car, that this is my own car, I want to drive." He said, "Today, I'm sure all your children have cars." I said, "Yes." He said, "Yeah, the one I have here too, they all have their cars." So whenever she reflected over those things, she felt like crying, not for herself, not for the lady that is dead, but for herself, for not appreciating what God did in her life, to have lifted her out of that, you know, dunghill and placed her among the princes, which God has done for us. Brethren, we must appreciate God. We must thank God. We must look back. We must remind ourselves of the bounty of treasures that is part of our lives, our grandchildren, the home where we live. Remember, you are not homeless. No matter the situation, 3 square meals is there. Beautiful. I know each and every one of us here. We eat what we want. It's not what we see. Unlike when we were on the other side. You know. Yeah. Let me tell you, my breakfast is the leftover of yesterday. And I'll be looking for it. I'll be monitoring it. We don't even have fridge to store it. No fridge to store the leftover. But that is going to be my breakfast. You know, that is what I will eat. I will then run away from the house. Just because there is too much. Boredom and poverty could be almost equal. When you don't, no TV to watch. Maybe TV is 24 hours now. You sit down, you take your, what do you call this thing? Remote. You begin to search channel from channel. You know? Not only that, live TV now, you can even stop it. Okay, I want to go to the bathroom. Stop there. You go to the bathroom. Then, what? The only TV we have in the house, the key is locked off. Only when my father is at home, 4 p.m. or 5 p.m., come and open it. And when he's going to sleep, he closes it. It's one, closes it like this, and then go out. And then, you know. When you look at all those things and how we grew, and how God brought us out of that, you have every reason to do what? To thank God. So, the true meaning of thanksgiving, however, should not end after a prayer or a few seconds of meditation devoted to thanksgiving. True meaning of thanksgiving should not end with just one single prayer or one single meditation. Okay? It should be ongoing in our lives at all times. Thanksgiving is an action. It is important for us to remember that the word thanksgiving composed of two things: thanks and do what? Giving. True. Throughout this year and throughout the days of your life, and we must be reminded to give thanks and to share and to do what? And to give. Praise the Lord. The holiday is fast coming now. Reminds us to share our economic and material wealth and to share also our time and talent with others who could use our help. In terms of thought and in terms of deed, the holiday of Thanksgiving gives us a rich perspective on the abundance of our lives. Praise the Lord. Thanksgiving is first today. Thanksgiving is today. I want you to take a moment and reflect on what actions you can take in the remaining part of the year to bring thanksgiving, not only to God, but to your neighbors. Think of a way to free up 1 hour, if possible, each week. 1 hour each week, so that you can give the time to someone in need. And that is what we call about, you know, volunteerism. Volunteer. Remember somebody that is in need. Spare that 1 hour and pray for that individual. At least a day, 1 hour. If you cannot do it in a day, do it each week. Reflect over what God has done for you. You know. So, at the end of the day, my friend said, she, omoye, she shiolone, that lady. He said, what is it that you and I have that God brought us out of that poverty and put us where we are today? She too was without papers in England for years. But today, God just worked out wonders and everything normalized. Her children finished, one of the elders' daughters living with her in London, finished her A-level. She couldn't go to college because there's no money. You know? And for years, about 2-3 years, this lady was there in the house. And I told her, I said, shouldn't you give glory to God? I don't mean is this wayward girl that goes out. Do you think you people wouldn't be in Nigeria by now? He said, those are the things she reflects on and she keeps on thanking God. This girl could not work, neither could she go to school for 3-4 years. I remember when I was there 1 year, I said, I understand you're a pastor, please pray for me. You know. Okay, no, I pray for them that year I was there. I pray for them that year. I said, by the grace of God, by the time I come, your papers will have been true. So the following year when I was there, I said, you are the one who prayed last year, and I thought it will not come true, and it's come true. Now the problem I have is college. Pray for me that my admission must come true. You know, and we pray. You know, we thank God today, for they have a different story. You will have good stories to tell in the mighty name of Jesus. So please think of how to free up at least 1 hour each week to give thanks to God. Reflect. Give your time. Give your talent. Sing a new song unto him, and it shall be well with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, as we are in this Thanksgiving, spend a few moments to give thanks. I want you to share with God in your heart what you want God to do or what we want to give thanks for, you know, come next month. Philemon. Philemon is only 1:14. Philemon 1:14. Let's read it. But without thy mind will I do nothing. So if you don't put your mind there, God will not do what? That thy benefit should come, not be as it were of necessity, but what? But willingly. Let me see. Let's see how New King James put it. Probably we will get it better. King James put it in a better way. Let me show you. 14. King James says, but without your consent, I wanted to do nothing. So when you pray about something, if you don't put your heart there, if there is no consent, you don't get anything from God. You must consent with God. You must believe in that he can do all things. Amen? That your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Amen. Paul has a thorn in his flesh. He will go out. He will evangelize. People will give their life to Christ. He will lift up souls. But he will come back to God. God, take away this thorn. God said, no, I won't take it away. Look, I can't. Don't let me be a reproach. This is a reproach to me. God said, no, it's not a reproach. I put that thorn there so that you will not become what? Proud. So that you will know that I can do all things and I will do it at my reach. And that in that weakness of yours, the strength of me will be in you. Because God wanted to humble him. God is asking for that heart from us this morning, you know, or this afternoon rather. This heart of thanksgiving, so that it can humble us, so that we don't look at the whole thing and think, oh, look how brilliant I am. Look how decent I am. See how I have planned my life. Are you the one who planned it? No, it's God. Let's be on our feet this morning. Let's be on our feet. Spend a few moments to just thank Him. Just magnify the King of Kings who lifted you out of poverty. Who made it possible for you to eat what you want anytime? Who put a roof over your head? You desire to travel. He made it possible. You desire to eat breakfast. He made it possible. You desire for children. He made it possible. Desire to get married, He made a way. Okay, I want to work. Yeah, He provided work. One of our friends arrived. After about 2 months, he said, oh, I'm tired, I have no work. I tell her, the work that you will do, and you'll be bored of it. You know, today they are in North Dakota. The last time I spoke to him, he was at work. He said, look, I'm tired of this. He said, are you sure? You are now tired? He was a veterinary doctor at home. He came here, he trained, and became a public health, you know, specialist. And he got the job. It is the grace of God. Thank Him that you are alive, in sound health. You went for the physical, everything went, everything came back beautiful. You think it is because what you are eating, or it's because of the exercise you are doing? It is the grace of God. It's His mercy. When you look at the abundance of what God has done in your life, you will know that indeed He's a merciful God. He's a powerful God. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The one that says yes and nobody can say no. The one that says no and nobody can say yes. Is the life, the truth, the way. We bless you, Lord. I appreciate you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the victory that you have given us. The victory of good over evil. It doesn't matter what is happening in the world around us. Our ultimate victory is there because God will prevail. We are included in this celebration of victory and goodwill this morning because of your benevolence. Thank you for confirming the scriptures in our lives. Thank you for making your grace to exterminate all satanic vestiges in our family tree. Thank you for reigning with us as saints. Thank you for declaring us as your saints. We remember 1 Corinthians 15:57. Say, but thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For we believe that come the rest of this month, November and December, we will stand. Our joy will be fuller than this. We will look back, we will reflect, we will know that indeed thou art God. Thank you for protection in this country. We did not walk into the wrong place at the wrong time. Evil did not meet us in our homes. Thank you for making impossibilities to become possible. Thank you for performing your promises in our lives. We receive our desired miracles this morning. We receive our desired miracles this afternoon. Because of your mercy. Remember, Isaiah 65 verse 24. Say, and it shall come to pass, before you call, the Lord will answer. And while you are yet speaking, he will hear. God is hearing you now. Appreciate him with that heart of thanksgiving. Thank you, Father. Brethren, think of his mercies. Think of his glory. Look at where you are. Where are those mates that you started with? Look at all what we have gone through. Do not allow death to snatch you away. Do not allow you to cry over your grandchildren, over your children, over your spouse. He satisfies our mouth with good things. Magnify him.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. As you have prayed, so shall it be in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Praise the living Jesus. Brethren, still in the spirit of thanksgiving, I want us to spread our hand, stretch our hands onto our pastor who has just reminded of the meaning of thanksgiving, who told us the reason, who reminded us of the reasons for thanksgiving. I want you to stretch your hand unto him and pray for him. Pray for him this morning that everything that he has said this morning, that it shall not stand against him in the day of judgment in the name of Jesus. Pray that as he has watered us, as he has fed us with some words this morning, the Lord will continue to feed him. Pray for him that as he has encouraged us this morning, that the Lord will encourage him and his family in Jesus' name. Please also pray that this shall not be his territory alone. He shall conquer nations. As he has wished in his mind that he wants to lend to nation. Pray this afternoon that the Lord will make it possible for him in Jesus' name. Father, Lord God, we just want to pray for him that this shall not be his only territory in Jesus' name. He shall conquer nations. He shall preach to nations in Jesus' name, and he shall lend to nations in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to thank you. We give you glory. We give you adoration. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.